She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties.
In Pride.
I would stop listening to this episode and never engage with this book.
No, 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 I'm not reading the rest of that. Like these kind of werewolves?
My heart lives in my vagina.
Oh, hi, hummingbird.
Why on God's green earth are you on Mormon college TikTok?
Looking at donkeys. I almost busted out my phone to just start playing Chapel Roan, only because she is the music of pride this season.
Oh, okay.
Pride. I have decided. I am an elder queer. I get to say that now. I need my elder queer cane and my elder queer robe, and I will just walk around and yelling at the littles.
That's funny. I just finished binge watching Dairy Girls. Have you seen it?
I've started it and I keep forgetting about it.
So I just binge watched it. It's so freaking hilarious. And it also makes me feel like I went to a terrible high school that I didn't know about what was going on in the world. But I mean, I did go to a terrible high school that I didn't know what was going on. In 10th grade, my history book said someday man will land on the moon. I graduated in 2000. So, but anyway, you know, most of what is happening during Dairy Girls is from my middle school and high school years. But I started watching it because I absolutely am obsessed with Nicola Coughlan now.
So
I'm obsessed with her. And what I really like about, like, her character on there is a lesbian.
Yeah.
And when she comes out, at first her friends are like, no, you can't. No.
And I know her friends on their show, that show, they're like, are you sure?
They're like, no, go back in the closet. She, at one point, she's like, I'm trying to come out. They're like, go back in. So anyway, for the rest of the series, they all wear rainbow pins every single day. It's never really like talked about that they finally accept that they're like, oh yeah. I mean, I guess the end of that episode where she comes out, they refer to her as, pardon the language, this is what they say in there, that she's their dyke. And then the rest of the series, they wear rainbow pins on every outfit that they wear. It's anything like, that they're wearing, they have a rainbow pin on.
It makes me think of that gif they use from Stranger Things. She's our witch, leave her alone.
Yeah. She might be crazy, but she's our friend.
So get away from her.
Right.
No.
And I sent you a TikTok this morning about using Taylor Swift lyrics about if I have to hear one more time that pride isn't for bi females who are in a relationship with a man. Bisexual includes the fact that you may date men or be married to them.
Or men who are straight passing as well, who are not. Uh-huh. I'm not saying my husband's straight passing. My husband is hetero as hetero gets, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not, but there are so many couples mm-hmm. that look like Matt and I, mm-hmm. right? That yeah. are a completely queer couple, either because yeah. someone is trans or yeah. someone is pan, or it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just because someone looks straight passing does not mean they are straight.
Yeah. And speaking of, I put a correction on last week's episode note. We were talking about Alexis Haley and his books, and
yeah.
one was the Duke and I or something like that. Uh-huh. And that actually, it is a transgender character.
Oh, is
it? So it's a transgender woman. And it actually seems to be, reading the synopsis, it seems to be a retelling of a Shakespeare play. Ooh. Like not modern, because it's still historical romance, yeah. but you know, a retelling. But anyway, yeah, transgender, and there's trigger warnings in that book if you read it, because the people that knew her before she affirmed her gender publicly referred to her by her dead name and sometimes use he, him pronouns when referring to her.
That, for challenge, book challenge, for our private one, I used The Princess and the Grilled Cheese. And
I saw that. I was like, what is this?
It's so freaking cute. Let me grab it. Hold on. It is, where is it? It is so goddamn cute. Oh, don't mind the wedgie.
You're just picking a wedgie on.
Leave me alone. Here it is. The Princess and the Grilled Cheese. It's a graphic novel. So the premise of this is this lead, their father dies, and they're female, but they prefer to dress male. So the only, and she refuses to marry a man, and that's the only way she's going to get her wealth, right? So her butler and like her family like tries to help like the people that are left because there's no like blood relatives left, decide to hide her as a man in another part of the country. And she starts to fall in love with a princess. And there's a lot of cheese puns, and it's super cute, and there's miscommunication. It's super adorable. It is a really fun, if you're looking for a really fun, light, queer read this, like, for Pride, this is so cute. This just makes your heart happy. This is just fun and light, and so, like, their names are Lady Camembert. You have Princess Brie. Because of the cheese. There's a romantic grilled cheese involved. It's a whole thing. But the author wrote this for her wife. It's based on them and their love for cheese. And it is just...
I like that.
It is super fucking sweet.
I read
a picture of the author and her wife in the back.
So I'm currently, Nurse Katie and I started Smut Girl Summer because it's June. And I have not quite finished the first book yet, but it is a queer romance. It's called Late Bloomer. And I'm quite enjoying it.
Is this the wolf one you guys thought was like YA?
No. That one I read by myself. I'm going to tell you about that one in a second. But this one, it's really funny. And
Late Bloomer looks good. It's on Late Bloomer.
It's really funny and it's really cute. And both the main characters are neurodivergent, and I sort of love that. The one is autistic; she's labeled autistic, and the other character is neurodivergent, but doesn't have like a specific divergence that she's actually labeled. And Katie's already finished it, and she absolutely loved it. And I'm about halfway. But I read Wolf Song by T.J. Klune, and we love T.J. Klune on the pod.
We are T.J. Klune stan.
Yes. Pod. We're going to cover him again in the fall in season 8.
With Nurse Katie.
With Nurse Katie. But this series is one that he self-published before he was T.J. Klune.
Before he was the T.J. Klune.
Yeah. So now his publisher has republished it and packaged it. And so the final book in the series comes out in the official publication this summer. And I own two of the books from the Barnes & Noble special editions. And I do intend to read the whole series, but I really – and it's a queer – and it's werewolves.
Okay.
And I love a paranormal romance. Werewolves? Honestly, it's like Twilight. It is. There's a lot of like Twilight-y, like it directly references Twilight. Like I'm going to call out this nerdiness of Twilight. And then it doesn't do a good job of like pulling away from Twilight. But my biggest issue with this book, it's T.J. Klune, so it's well-written, okay? Yeah. The writing was there, the world-building. I mean, he can build a fucking world.
He can make characters, right? He can make people feel, in his novels, real.
Yeah.
His characters are instantly real to me.
He builds a fucking world like no one. I mean, like, he's really good at it. But my biggest issue with this book is that the primary relationship is between Ox and Joe. And Joe is the future alpha of the pack. And his pack, the Bennett pack, is kind of like the alphas of alphas. So, like, even though they're alphas of their own pack, they're also, like, their alpha is kind of, like, the head of all the other packs, too. So it's a big deal to be a Bennett.
Yeah.
And Ox is human.
Okay.
And there's something different about him. And we know that, like, the whole time. But when they meet, Ox is 15. It's on his 15th birthday.
Oh.
And Joe is 9.
Oh, shit.
And that day.
Young.
The next day, Joe gives him a quote-unquote birthday present. But what it actually is he gave him his wolf. Like, it's this, like, statue. And it is supposed to be the thing that you give to the person who's your mate. So at 9 years old, with a 15-year-old, his parents supported this, him giving.
We do not imprint on children. Mm-hmm. Don't. Like I had huge beef when in Twilight.
Renesmee and Jacob.
Yeah. Like when Jacob went in the first book. Mm-hmm. I was still young when I read that first book.
Mm-hmm.
Relative. I'm not like a teenager young, but you guys get my fucking point. And
we were in our 20s.
And when he was like, you know how we couldn't get away from each other a week ago when we were so drawn to each other? You notice how that feeling's gone now?
It was her all along.
Eat shit. Mm-hmm. Eat shit. That's my baby. As she says, I've had her one day. That is my baby. Yeah. My baby.
She was like an hour old. Baby. She was like an hour old. And Jacob was like, yep, that's the girl for me. Gross.
I'm going to love her forever, bitches.
So Joe is 9. Ox is 15. The first time they kiss, Joe is 17. So he's still a child. The first time that they are physically intimate beyond kissing, they are both in their 20s. So they are at that point, like, okay, so they don't actually fuck until they're in their 20s, but at 9, they became betrothed.
But here's the problem with the betrothed thing. It's like in the Time Traveler's Wife. She doesn't get a choice because he just shows up.
That, actually.
She doesn't get a choice. Mm-hmm. Your free will is taken when somebody just shows up and they're like, I'm from the future and I'm your husband. No, you don't.
And that really bothered me too. And then I read a whole bunch of reviews because I wanted to see like what other people thought of this. And one of the reviews called TJ Klun out because the first time that they are physically intimate, the descriptions, this book is more graphic in an MM book than I've ever read. Like, and probably part of that is because it's a gay man writing about gay men.
Right.
But there, I don't want to go into too descriptive, but there's fingers in parts of bodies and there's oral sex that takes place.
Good for men.
But they don't insert penis into butthole. And that is what they're considering mating. And so one of the reviewers on Goodreads was like, how dare you make this like basically heteronormative, even though it's still men? Because, and we've talked about this on the pod before, where sex doesn't necessarily mean penis and vagina.
Right.
Because there are many different types of sex, and two women together can't have penis and vagina sex.
Right. Like, sex is the name of, sex is, okay, when I say sex, I think of a relation between two people, a intimate contact between two people that does not always mean penetration. It means a intimate contact between two people.
Well, and then there are different types of penetration.
Right.
And when I was younger, my thought was the only type of sex that was sex was penis and vagina. But now as adult, I'm like, no, that's not accurate. That's not accurate at all.
And I'm going to be such a dickhead right now. Okay, hold on. Have you gotten, are you on Mormon College TikTok by chance?
Mormon College TikTok? Why on God's green earth are you on Mormon College TikTok?
I don't know.
How did you even get down that rabbit hole?
it's these kids mocking the Mormon kids, being like, what's your favorite party drink? And the kid will go, I like a good Sprite. Or if I'm feeling wild, I'll make a Shirley Temple. But they'll talk about people being dirty. Mm-hmm. And like, they go into detail about how what's sex and not sex. Mm-hmm. And
the game we played in my youth group too.
And I promise you, these Mormon kids are way dirtier than the kids that are having real sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
sorry, that's just what I thought of, because like they have rules and games and it was a whole thing. Yeah. Sorry, continue.
And that's what Ox does. He draws that line of, we're not going to mate, which would be penis into ass. Mm. But penis and mouth, fingers and ass, those are all okay.
That's still sex.
It's still sex. So it felt very much like grooming, because it started when he was 9 and Ox was 15. And I know this is not what people tuned in for, but I'm still going to give it, because this is Pride Month. I'm reading a queer book. And one of the things that we hear so many people who are anti-pride and anti-the queer agenda is that they're grooming.
Yeah.
And I feel like this book really is an example of grooming.
Yeah.
Ox had had sex with men and women before he had sex with Joe. And it is explicitly said in there, he was glad Joe waited for him and he was going to teach him.
Gross.
So gross.
Gross.
So I plan to read the rest of the series, but...
TJ Klune, you're on thin ice.
It's mostly because I really like the world building, and a lot because I've already bought the first two books in special edition and I need to justify it.
First novel ever?
Yeah, I think it might be. Now, I'm not totally sure. I would have to do some more digging, and I can put it in the, you know, the
diddly-doos
below. Super. But it was self-published first. So you can actually read all four of the Wolf Song books on Kindle. Hmm? And they're still available, but now they're being released in a print format, in very pretty hardback and packaged and all the things.
Mm. I forgot to mention about this.
Mm-hmm.
I bought this at my favorite bookstore, East City Books.
East City Books. Shout out to East City Books.
Fucking love them.
That's my thing. Oh, I just want to say one more thing about Smut Girl Summer, and then we'll talk about this week's book. Nurse Katie and I are doing Smut Girl Summer. If you go onto our Instagram, that will be primarily where we document our Smut Girl Summer. It should already be posted, but if it's not, the week this episode comes out, it will be posted. How we're rating books. We're rating books on an overall rating, the spiciness of the book, and how good the banter hits. Because one of the things I really love is the witty banter. And as Nurse Katie has said for many times that she's been on here, she wants the ass smacking and hair pulling. So
we're going to rate both. Yes, because you got two different types. So this week, gang, we are talking about Big Swiss by Jen Began.
I think it's Began.
Began. Okay.
It's a library copy. Support local libraries.
So a couple things. First and foremost, there is talks of suicide. There's talks of violence against women. The graphics in this book is very graphic.
There's a pet that gets shot. A dog.
Yes. There is blood play involved in this book. Sorry. I have to give the forewarning. Are you good? Need a second.
I'm okay. But it really...
I'm
gonna take a drink.
Yep, go ahead. There is... there's a lot of nasty shit in this book. So be prepared.
And also, a lot of bugs. So if you don't like bugs. There's a lot of bugs in this book.
So I'm gonna read my synopsis and then we'll go from there. All right. I wrote my questions first, guys. And I need you guys to understand that this book, I'm biased on. I can't not be biased after I read it. So I'm going to read you the synopsis I wrote. And then because we do try to give an unbiased synopsis here, I'm going to read the author synopsis. There is a lot of really great synopsises and conversations on Goodreads for this book. If you're interested in hearing other people's point of views, I will put the links to that in the diddly-doos. But let's roll. Greta, a drug addict, trauma-fueled suicide, has moved to Hudson, New York recently and become the stenographer for the town's sex therapist. During her work, she learns about OM. OM. OM is the, sorry, not OM. Sorry. F-E-W. Mm-hmm. F-E-W. Who she starts to call Big Swiss. And she becomes obsessed, and eventually they accidentally meet. They eventually start an affair, and it ends poorly. That's my synopsis. That's it. That's what I got out of this book, guys. So I'm going to read you what the author wrote because it's a little bit better. Greta lives with her friend Sabine in an ancient Dutch farmhouse in Hudson, New York. The house is unrenovated, uninsulated, and full of bees. Greta spends her days transcribing therapy sessions for a sex coach who calls himself Ohm. She's become infatuated with his newest client, a repressed married woman she affectionately refers to as Big Swiss. Greta is fascinated by Big Swiss's refreshing attitude towards trauma. They both have a dark history, both have dark histories, but Big Swiss chooses to remain unattached to her suffering while Greta continues to be tortured by her past. One day, Greta recognizes Big Swiss's voice in town and they quickly become enmeshed. No, it's not in town. It's at a dog park. While Big Swiss is unaware, Greta has eavesdropped on her most intimate exchange. Greta has never been more herself with anyone. Her attraction to Big Swiss overrides her guilt, and she'll do anything to sustain the relationship. Bold, outlandish, and filled with irresistible characters. Really? Big Swiss is both a love story and a... No, 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 I'm not reading the rest of that. No, no. So let's get started, shall we? You good?
I want to go on record that I texted you after I finished this, because I finished this before you had a chance to start it, because work has been this endless reading of audiobooks because we've been doing renovations.
You're in the middle of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so...
And I've been writing, so like I haven't been at the same reading pace.
This was no judgment of you.
Oh, I know.
But it's a little bit of judgment of you because you picked this book. But
I picked this... We'll get to that.
I want to go on record in saying that this is one of my top five favorite books we've done on this pod. It's one of the five worst.
Here's the problem. And this book is a perfect example of being a mood reader and it just not being what you expected.
So go ahead.
I saw this book originally at Barnes & Noble's. And the Barnes & Noble's reference said a fun, slightly chaotic sex therapist and like love story gone awry. That was kind of like this chaotic queer love story. That was kind of the way it was described. I was like, okay. And the cover looked wild. And I love a good funny cover. So it was like, I'm here for it, right? Not it. So you can go ahead now. I'm sorry.
So I often pick books by cover too. I mean, I definitely have preferred genres. Like I'm probably never going to go into a bookstore, see a book of a woman turned away, walking away and be like, yeah, that's for me. But this cover did not do anything for me. Like I wouldn't have been like, yeah, that's the one for me.
It looks silly. I was like, okay, this looks stupid. Why would you put a woman screaming?
I actually thought that she was being sexually assaulted. Her blouse is pulled all the way down, so the only thing we don't see is, like, nips.
Yep.
And then her mouth is open like she's calling for help. I thought she was being sexually assaulted.
This is supposed to be Big Swiss having an orgasm.
Yeah. Well, for the first time. Well,
yeah.
So when we make our lists, people need to know this, because this is good background information for how we actually make book besties. If I picked all the books, which I don't, we've alternate weeks. If I picked all the books, our podcast would be a primarily romance book driven. It would have fantasy in it and a little bit of sci-fi because those are my preferred genres. if I picked the books, that's what we would do. If you picked all the books, it would be fucking chaos all the time.
It would be such a chaotic mess. We would never.
We would have no central point.
No.
However.
That's why however, we have the perfect balance, you and I.
Right. That's what I was going to say. However, us putting, making, mixing our preferred genres together, it makes our podcast more appealing to a wider audience. And like, I never want to read historical fiction. We wouldn't do it if it weren't for you.
Oh, and I love it, though.
We need to do historical fiction because it's a genre that
it's our a primary, very popular genre.
And it's our primary audience is women. Yep. And it is a primary genre of women.
Yep.
So so when we create our list, we both can veto some of the things that we are like, no, I'm not reading that. I veto anything that has like demons in it. And I'm like, no, Molly, I'm not doing that.
Except for the one. You did read the T.J. Klune with the baby devil.
I did. House on the Cerulean Sea was one of the best books I've ever read.
Facts.
I didn't know it was queer. I didn't know it had the Antichrist in it. It was one of the best books I've ever read. And you did pick that one. And it, so the funny thing is that
was
all,
a fan suggestion.
It was.
Thank you, Leslie.
Leslie suggests that. The thing is that my top two books for this podcast were both ones that you picked. Mm-hmm. My top five least favorite are also ones that you picked.
I'm telling you.
Balance.
It's a hodgepodge, man. But that's the thing about being a mood reader. You're gonna get, like, mm-hmm. I have Wayward on my list.
Oh, it's on my list, too. Even though it's historical fiction. I want to read it.
Yeah, but it's also supposed to be really dark and gross mm-hmm. and a little scary. And mm-hmm. I didn't want to put it on pod because I thought you'd be... It would be too much for you.
Listen,
but I also have a really dark, a couple dark Brahms on there, and mm-hmm. I know you won't read those, right? Like,
so we're gonna read Butcher and Blackbird, and I'm gonna host that one, and that is like,
cannibals. I'm really concerned about that one for you. I am.
Well, Katie read it, and she said I would be okay.
Okay, because there is cannibalism.
I know. Super gross.
Okay, can we do question one?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm trying to avoid at all costs having to talk about this book.
We will get through this really fast. I am certain of it.
Well, good. We've already filled 26 minutes of content. Halfway there.
The reviews of Big Swiss are all either raves or hate this book. There is no middle ground. What did you think of Jen Begin? Why can't I say her last name?
I don't know how to say it. I think it's Begin.
Begin, Jen Begin style. Also, she lives in Hudson.
I don't know where Hudson is. Like New York?
Like the main plot point of the book, that's where she lives.
Oh, okay.
The setting is her home, the town she lives in. So she's a New Yorker transplanted.
I don't know anything else by her. I don't know if she, this is her
They're
first
all
book.
Like this. These are all like, her other books are like this. She has two others. This is her third novel.
I won't ever read her again. I won't ever read her again. I literally only finished this book because it was on pod.
Agreed.
It seriously grossed me out. In case you guys missed, about 15 minutes ago, I literally gagged because it's so gross. Because
we talked about, I'm not going to repeat it, but Tom can put the words.
I mean, he doesn't even need to. We're going to have to talk about it. That's how disgusting this book is. I'm prepared for it now because I was not prepared for it to be in the trigger warnings, but I am prepared for it now. That's okay.
That's why we have trigger warnings.
I know. But
for them, not you, boo.
Listen, I want people to listen to our episodes, but let me just tell you, this is my summation of how I feel about this book. If I were you, I would stop listening to this episode and never engage with this book. That's what I would do.
Wow. Greta, our main character, feels more like a stream of consciousness and less like a main character. I constantly throughout this book was wondering the point of it all. Do you think the author had a reason for this writing style?
There's no plot in this story. I mean, okay, so this is a romance novel. To a degree, there's romance in it. There's a lot of sex in it. I read a review on Goodreads that somebody said books about chaotic women is my new favorite genre. And they gave this 5 stars. And I was just like, no. But even when there's sex in the book, so because I'm a romance reader and I like the spicy plots, when Big Swiss and Greta are having sex, Big Swiss often describes it as, when I'm on top, it feels like I'm doing my job, because she's a gynecologist. And they literally talk, it's like they're just fucking each other to get off, and there's no intimacy.
No.
Big Swiss has her first orgasm with a vibrator, and after Om encouraged her to do that, and then she's basically just doing anything that she can to get off. It's not about sex or intimacy. It's about orgasm.
It kind of reminds me, this isn't going to be relevant for you personally, because you've had one sexual partner. There's this thing that happens when you find someone that you're entranced with sexually only.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of you, I get what's going on here. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's, you become sexually involved with somebody, and it's like this magical sexual affair. And the only thing that you two have in common is this mind-blowing fucking sex.
Yeah, but then they start talking about how they love each other, and there's no...
The only reason... Okay, and
The reason that I've only had one sexual partner is because my heart lives in my vagina.
Your heart lives in your vagina.
I cannot separate mental intimacy from physical intimacy.
So this is a trauma response. This is two people having trauma who have never physically known real love. And as someone that has had a very similar relationship to this, I'm going to explain it. So what happens is, two people who are really fucking broken start sleeping mm-hmm. together because they think that's how relationships work.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that I was doing this with, and I'm going to be super vague because I do have people in my life that listen to this that we'll be able to do the math. And this guy and I were sneaking around. I was, mm-hmm. this is right before I was left for the Coast Guard. It was a whole thing, okay? And the more him and I snuck around, the more him and I felt like we belonged together and we liked each other. And the sex started getting more and more intense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody knew. We told no one in our lives. And I never did tell anybody about him. And he never told anyone about me. But we remained friends after it ended because we both realized we were getting into this spiral of, we think this is something more than it is. And the sex just amplifies that feeling. And it's that my heart is in the vagina thing, right? Even mm-hmm. though, because we were both broken humans. Oh, hi, hummingbird. Because we were both broken humans. I'm sorry. I was trying to be...
When your ADHD was going to start.
Okay, so I have a window in front of my computer, guys. And I have a spider that builds webs all summer, all winter and fall. And in the spring, in late, early summer, the hummingbirds come and use it, steal all the spider webs to make baby nests. Sorry. I don't know where I was anymore. But yes, that's the whole point of this.
Okay,
but
so even though I've only had one partner, sexual partner, I can understand.
Yes, absolutely.
I can understand the,
I wasn't trying to, yeah.
The fuck buddies thing. I get it. But to me, they never became emotionally intimate to get to the point that they love each other.
They never
and
shared.
I'm not sure that Big Swiss knows what love is, because she's married to a man who she engages in sexual activity with, but she doesn't really care.
Her husband creeps me out.
Okay, so
her husband creeps me out.
When Molly mentioned blood play, her husband prefers to have sex with her when she's on her period, and he likes to wipe her blood all over him.
And that's not even the weirdest thing for me.
Ugh.
That's not even the weirdest thing for me. Like, the request to sniff the sex toy after she came.
Oh, like, gosh, yes, that was so gross.
And, like, there is just a lot of, like, if you like this weird bullshit, I'm here for it, right?
So we meet a lot of authors doing this podcast. I don't ever want to meet her because I don't feel like she's somebody I could have a conversation with.
I just feel like I'd be like, I feel like, reading this book was reading her diary.
And that is why I don't want to meet her.
Because I don't think I could look this woman in the eye after reading this book. Mm-hmm. Okay. Question three.
Oh, gosh.
Greta's mother commits suicide early in her life, age 13. And she is passed from aunt to aunt to aunt throughout her life. And this shapes who she is as an adult. So, like, she has all these crazy aunts and they pass her around, whatever. Do you think this is the reason she struggles with emotional attachment?
I'm sure it is.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, the one aunt made her hyper-religious, right? And the other aunt was like, you're brainwashed. And so, like, they're just constantly just... It's rinse, wash, repeat,
We learn at the end that she also carries some guilt because she believes she's the reason her mom killed herself because her mom... She knew her mom was suicidal and she was like, well,
she pretty much gave her permission. Yeah, just kill yourself. But, you know, go ahead, just do it. That's gross, by the way. Don't tell people to do that.
Also, this book starts, I listened to the audiobook and in the first 9 minutes, and I know it's 9 minutes because that's about how long it takes me to shower, except when I'm washing my hair, girls, you know. So 9 minutes. There were two suicides, one armed robbery, one overdose from drugs. In 9 minutes.
Speaking of suicide, that's the next question.
Didn't you just ask
that question? Yes. It's still the next question. Okay. Part of the storytelling is Greta writing letters to her mother who committed suicide. Is this a trauma response or a real person journaling? What did you think of this choice by the author?
So initially I thought it was like a trauma response that she probably got from therapy, but we learn later in the book that her mom and her kind of always communicated by letters anyway. So I think it's just her like keeping up the way that she knew how to speak to her mom.
Right. Because she had no other, coping mechanisms. I mean, Greta becomes obsessed with Big Swiss. Nope, that's not the question I wanted to do. There are so many unique characters in this book, but they do not stick around for long. We have a sex therapist, the landlord, Sabine, and then Big Swiss, who it takes forever for us to finally meet them. Did any of these characters truly save this book?
No.
Okay, great. Moving on. No, they didn't. Because, like... We get backstories, but they're backstories through Greta. We are getting information, but we're not getting information. It's super weird.
No.
Greta becomes obsessed with Big Swiss because she is listening to her sex therapy sessions. HIPAA! Katie would be screaming right now.
Yep.
Katie would be screaming right now. She eventually finds her in their small town out at the dog park. And they eventually have an affair. Thoughts on the affair with Big Swiss? Is it believable?
No.
No? Not at all?
No.
Is it? It's just stalking, right? We're listening to a stalking story.
I mean, they meet by chance. Greta lies about her name. Then they...
Yeah, she's Rebecca. She goes by Rebecca. Yeah.
I just... No. I think I've exhausted all my energy to talk about this book already.
We got to finish it, though, babe.
It was so bad.
It was so bad. Bugs are everywhere in this damn book. Everywhere.
So
bees.
Maggots.
Maggots. Because the maggots grow in where the beehive was. And then there's, like, beetles or some shit in the sheets. It's really gross. Is this some sort of symbolism and... Or is just the author just making this house gross?
I don't fucking know. Like, I, like...
You're the one with the masters! Help me here!
I want to say that it's symbolism. Om actually defines it for her later, but the truth is, it was just fucking gross. It did remind me a little bit about the metamorphosis, which is totally fucking unhinged. Where a man thinks he turned into a beetle. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just read the synopsis because it's not worth reading the book. But it reminded me of that because there's just so much like graphic bug talk. But the fact that like Big Swiss calls her out on this, she's like, you have accepted that this is the way to live.
Yeah.
That there's nothing better.
You know what's... it feels like a punishment, a self-deprecating punishment for mm-hmm. for telling her mom to commit suicide. Right?
I mean, she's a grown woman at this point, isn't she? Like
45.
She's in her 40s. 45. And her roommate who owns the house is in her 50s.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to accept this.
Like, she's done, okay. And Greta, in Greta's mind, she's done a lot of shitty things, right? She slept with Sabine's son.
Did she sleep with him? I thought she just liked him.
She said she had an affair with him.
Oh, I didn't remember that they actually slept together. Just that she had a crush on him, which is like, ew.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm on chat number 9. Okay. So we're getting there. Yeah.
Sabine's dad likes her too. Wants to fuck her.
So fucking gross. I want to use chapter 10 as an example for this question. For those following along, playing the home game, pull out your books, kids. Don't read this book. During this chapter, the author is talking about a dream house Greta had, but also she's interacting with Big Swiss. This is a perfect example of how this book is muddy, because in this chapter, we're going through subconscious to real life, and we're constantly going from Greta's subconscious back into the real world, back into Greta's subconscious. And during this chapter, like, they're having sex and all these things are happening on, but Greta is monologuing the whole time. So you mm-hmm. never know if we're in the moment with Big Swiss mm-hmm. or if we're in Greta's head. Mm-hmm. So this is throughout the book. This is mm-hmm. exactly how the book is written. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is a writing style choice, or it's just something else we're not getting?
I mean, I guess it's a writing style, but frankly, this is how I feel.
Like, it makes no sense to me. As a writer, it makes no sense to me. I pulled the book out. I was flipping the page. There is no breakdown. There's no physical construct. There is nothing that makes sense to me in this book.
Have you read The Yellow Wallpaper?
That's what I was about to talk about. It makes me think of that. Like, she read this in high school and was like, this is what I want to write the rest of my life.
I wonder if I'm just...
Yeah, you look.
Yep, she has an MFA in creative writing. That's exactly what I thought. Actually, somebody... I was reading...
I have a creative writing degree, so... Step lightly, friends.
I was reading some of the reviews on Goodreads, and one of them was, "We get it. You have an MFA."
But here's the thing. I constantly considered getting my MFA, and I would never write anything this pretentious.
I don't agree with you that it's pretentious.
I think it is.
I think it's stream of consciousness in chaotic. Pretentious
people like it.
I think I've said this before. It's an Emperor's New Clothes thing.
It is. You're right. From the context of this book, there is a big conversation here about trauma. Whose trauma are we focusing on in this book? Greta's or Big Swiss's?
Mine, because I had to read it.
Come on! Answer the goddamn question!
I would say Greta. Greta's trauma informs basically the whole book, even when even when she hears Big Swiss's trauma, she uses it through the lens of her own trauma.
I think that's the only reason she's transfixed by Big Swiss, honestly, mm-hmm. is because it's somebody just as broken as she is. Mm-hmm. And she's like, holy shit, she can't have an orgasm because she was abused. She's way more fucked up than me. Like, it mm-hmm. that's where it just in her subconscious. The ending is a big flat nothing. Zip, zillow, zitch, nada. We end with spoilers, gang, looking at donkeys. Mm-hmm. That's how we end this book.
I mean, to be fair, we end with this book where Big Swiss's attacker is released from prison. They think he shot Greta's dog, but he doesn't admit. He says he didn't do it.
He says he would shoot Greta before he'd shoot a dog.
We never find out who shot Greta's dog or why. And then Big Swiss's attacker, Big Swiss's husband goes to confront her attacker with a shiv because he collects shivs.
Why?
I'm thinking because the end he tries to attack somebody who was in prison, but the attacker takes the shiv and stabs him multiple times, and Big Swiss breaks up with Greta because she needs to stand beside her husband, because Greta would have never survived because she would have chosen not to, but her husband did. And that's the end. Then we look at donkeys.
And then we look at donkeys. HBO is adapting. Will you watch?
Are you fucking kidding me?
They bought it before it was released.
Oh my gosh. No, I won't.
Final thoughts, April Goodreads, am I missing anything?
Okay, let me give you my Goodreads rating.
I cannot wait. And then I want to talk about Grey Notebook.
I don't know what that means, but...
You're gonna?
I'm struggling to get this pulled up. Okay. This is my Goodreads rating. Those of you that know that I'm on StoryGraph and have started following me on StoryGraph, thank you for that. I actually gave it 0 stars officially on StoryGraph because you can do that there. But my review on Goodreads is a 1 star because you can't give it 0 stars. And it says, if somebody could tell me what this book is about, that would be great. 0 out of 5 stars. Yep. Yep. It was awful. I hated it. I don't know if you missed anything because I still don't know what this fucking book was about. It was bad.
I truly, like, the Lost episode, okay? The Lost Apothecary.
Can I read you some of these Goodreads reviews? You know those comments about how movie and TV shows are being written as if they were tweets? This is exactly that, but in book form. My husband said this book sounds like it was written by AI.
It does feel like that.
This one says DNF at 4%. This one is, if your B+ ninth grade creative writing assignment you were really proud of got leaked, and a bunch of interns who were told they needed to find at least one sapphic manuscript at the end of the year and all other standards could be eliminated, this is that book. This one is, I do not understand the great reviews this book is getting. It's terrible. It was definitely a book that I read.
I read this book. That's going to be my review. I finished this book.
The more I think about this book, the angrier I get. This is less a novel and more a collection of weird and gross details. We get it. You have an MFA. Yep.
I don't understand, friend. I don't understand.
Yep.
Please, Jen, explain it to us.
I really don't want her to. This is not an author I want you to pick again. Please don't.
I don't plan on it. Gosh. I don't plan on it. Like, I really do try to go out of the way to try to find books that is different for Pod. I really want us to be diverse so that we hit a lot of... Why? 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 Why?
I concur. All right, you want to talk about what we're doing next week?
Please.
All right, next week we are reading The Celebrants by Stephen Rawley. Yay! And I have finished this. I had a bookmark in it, but I have finished it. You started it. And he narrates the audiobook. This is a library copy, support local libraries. This will be our last book of season 6. Is that right?
I want to say one nice thing about this.
Oh, gosh.
The narrating was really good. The audiobook narration had 3 voices. It was male and 2 different females. It made the book. It saved it. It gave it the 1 star it deserves.
No, how dare you? The narration was good, but it did not save this book.
Okay, it didn't save the book. The narration was good.
It's what made me not text you and say, fuck you. That's what it did.
You absolutely should have just texted me and said, fuck you, Molly Biggs. Molly Biggs! What the fuck?
Oh my gosh, so we're gonna read The Celebrants, and that will end Pride Month, and it will end season 6. And I love Stephen Rawley, and he writes the happy sad.
Be sad.
Tell me about The Grey Notebook.
This is going to be my first draft.
Writing it and not typing it?
Oh, no, I'm typing it. This is all the secrets and the spoilers. This is every character. This is every setting. This is everything for my outline.
Wow, Molly, that is awesome. I'm really proud of you and excited.
But I'm paranoid now because it is dark and scary.
Yeah.
And people like me who write dark and scary get more bubbly. We just get more paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. you know the line, looks like a cinnamon roll, Bill could kill you?
Mm-hmm.
That's a Molly Biggs.
Yeah.
And this book is definitely showing.
Looks like a cinnamon roll is a cinnamon, roll. I'm pretty sure looks like she could kill you, will kill you, is Nurse Katie. And no one would ever know because she's a nurse and she can do it.
And Tom is looks like he'll kill you is a cinnamon roll. I love you, Tom. You no, will not he's hurt. Not.
He looks like he would kill you, would kill you. Not actually, it's probably more accurate that Katie looks like she would kill you, but kill is you, a cinnamon roll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But no, I have my characters named. I have everything down to the lawyers. I have the courtroom figured out.
I'm really proud of you.
I even have. I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I did it.
I'm proud of you.
I'm not, because I've been paranoid as fuck.
And I'm really excited to see you this summer.
Me too. I am too. And I get to see my boys. I'm so excited to see the boys.
Yeah. Sam keeps saying, when's Auntie Molly Cakes coming?
My Sammy Cakes. I love him so.
Yeah. He's pretty great.
I love both boys. They're so great.
We're about to go pick Sam up from school because today that we're filming is his birthday. And okay. Tom bought an inflatable axolotl costume to go pick him up in.
Okay, now we got to get out of here.
Fucking hilarious.
All right.
It's fucking hilarious.
Let's get y'all out of here because Sammy's going to love that shit.
He's going to love it.
Besties, we love y'all. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Or whatever bat channel you choose because we're on a lot of bat channels.
You know what I fucking mean.
We know.
Till next time, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly and not those of anyone else. Today's book was Big Swiss by Jen Begin. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins and music is Sleep Sweetly by Brigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.